Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, we are certainly aware by now that the book of Obadiah is a book primarily about God's judgment upon the nation of Edom. And how did God judge Edom? He did so by diminishing their status among the nations of the world, by eviscerating their strength, by reducing their military power, by destroying their wealth as marauders came in and invaded and plundered them, by eroding their friendships, disrupting their relationships with allies around them who could help them, and by thwarting their counselors, their wise counselors, in whom they put a great deal of confidence, but God caused them to make bad decisions. And the reason for all of this is because of Edom's sin against Israel. Why did God judge Edom? We're told in verse 10, "For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever." And after that introductory verse, the next several verses describe the steps that Edom took one by one by one, going from simply watching others attack Israel to finally joining into that attack themselves. Now, as we saw in a previous broadcast, the prophesied judgment of Edom came over a period of time and was not completed until several centuries after this prophecy was declared. But nevertheless, it came to pass in God's time exactly as God said. And for the moment, we will pause and welcome you to this Wednesday, May 13 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And I need to remind you that we do need the help of radio listeners to pay the bills and stay on this station. Well, as you remember, they were conquered by Nabonidus, the last king of Babylon, in 533 BC. Afterwards, they were displaced from their land by the Nabateans, an Arab tribe, who developed the rock city of Petra. They relocated to Gaza, which was in the territory of Israel, where they were subdued by Judas Maccabeus in 125 BC. Afterwards, they mingled with the Jews and were destroyed along with the Jews by Titus in AD 70. So from 533 BC until AD 70, that's about 600 years from the first blow until the final destruction, until the ultimate destruction where they were cut off forever. But after that 70 AD destruction by Titus, they were no more as a nation. The Jews, who were struck by that same military action, in fact, they were the targets of it, they survived miraculously, though the nation was destroyed, the city was destroyed. The rebuilt temple, Herod's rebuilt temple, was destroyed. The Jews were scattered all over the face of the earth and wandered from place to place for centuries until finally they were regathered to their national territory in the 20th century. But Edom was cut off forever, exactly as God said they would be. But the thing that we need to understand in all of this, and I tried to bring this out on the broadcast yesterday, is that in all of this, Edom was an example of God's judgment in general upon all the nations. It is, yes, a particular judgment of God upon a particular nation, and the details of that judgment apply only to Edom, that is, the historical details of how that judgment came to pass. But there are general principles of judgment declared in this book that apply to all nations. And so we read in verse 15, "For the day of the Lord upon all the nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been." Now, without going back through all of that again, as I have already done on the previous broadcast, I simply point out that this is picturesque language. This is typology that describes God's judgment upon the nations. It is pictured as the nations drinking the cup of God's judgment. Literally, Edom drank a victory celebration on God's holy mountain, and that was a picture of their drinking the cup of God's judgment. But all the nations, we are told here, shall drink continually. Yes, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. Judgment is going to fall upon other nations, just like the judgment that fell upon Edom, which eventually cut Edom off entirely. So Edom serves as an example to others. But here's the good part, and we'll just be able to touch upon it today and take it up in more detail in the days to come. After this description of God's judgment, first upon the nation of Edom, and then secondly upon all the nations who are guilty of sins similar to and even worse than those of Edom, there is finally a declaration of God's mercy. Verse 17, But, here's the contrast. On Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. But the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. And it goes on from there, but I'll stop at that point. And so here we are told that God is going to extend mercy to Israel even while he brings judgment upon Edom. As surely as there is judgment, there is also mercy. And mercy, like judgment, is the sovereign prerogative of God. The unrepentant will be judged justly. The repentant will receive mercy also justly. And God is the judge to decide which is which. And the same thing is true of individuals. All of us, as individuals, have sinned and have come short of the glory of God, and we all deserve the judgment of God. Every one of us, every man, every woman, yes, every young person who is listening to this broadcast today, deserves the condemnation of God, the judgment of God because of our sins. We have all sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible declares these things, and we are all guilty of sin, and therefore we are all worthy of God's judgment, God's just judgment. If God, listen to me, if God sent every member of the human race to hell, he would be just. He would be just in doing so. We are all deserving of that. Think of the angels that sinned. Did God provide a way of salvation for any of them? Not a one. They sinned, they were condemned, and there was no possibility of salvation for any of the fallen angels. The only angels which will not be cast into the lake of fire are the angels that have not sinned, the holy angels. But every angel that sinned against Almighty God will be cast into the lake of fire. Some already have been, but that's another subject for another day. But all of them will be ultimately. And the point is, that's what every sinner deserves. That's what every member of the human race deserves. But God, in mercy, has chosen to provide rescue for members of Adam's fallen race. There is judgment, but in the case of fallen humanity, there is also mercy. And that's the prerogative of God. It's God's prerogative to judge justly. In fact, you might even make it stronger than that. It is necessary that a just God, a holy God, shall judge justly. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He surely shall. And that includes bringing down just judgment upon all those who deserve it. But that same God is able to extend mercy, but only if he can do so justly. It's not an arbitrary thing. It's not nepotism. It's not favoritism. God doesn't say, well, I decide I will judge these because they deserve to be judged, but I will spare these even though they deserve to be judged. I've just chosen to do that. I'm going to sweep their transgressions under the rug, so to speak, and extend mercy to them instead of judgment. But God doesn't do it that way. The justice of God demands that sinners be judged. The justice of God also demands that anyone who is spared judgment must have his penalty paid by a substitute. God's justice so demands, and that's what God has done. The mercy that he has extended, he extends at incredible cost to himself. Almighty God, whose love profound a ransom for my soul has found, before your throne this sinner bends, to me your pardoning love extend. Yes, a ransom for my soul has been found. In fact, we could even say a ransom for my soul has been designed and designated by God, and it was at incredible cost. He gave his own son, the only one who could serve as a suitable substitute. He gave his own son to bear the punishment of his people on the cross, and to those he extends mercy if they are repentant, which his people all are. But that's the difference. Unrepentant sinners must be judged. Repentant sinners will have their judgment transferred, as it were, from themselves to their substitute, who will bear their judgment in their place and allow God to remove the judgment from them. As surely as there is judgment, there is also mercy. Which, my friend, will it be for you? Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.